All right, it is time now to do something we enjoy doing, and that is every weekend.
Love it.
We look through the window of baseball with our good friend Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. Of course, their new showroom in Monterey that I like to mention. By the way, someone texted me about the new Nations in Folsom, by the way.
Okay.
Ron Wotus was talking about Nations today. I want to make sure everybody knows that. Citrus Heights and also up in Folsom. Bruce, how are you today?
Hey, Bruce.
Real good. How are you guys doing?
Well, very good. I know you're ready for a very big soccer match today, right?
Yeah. Going to have a few people over. It's always great to throw a little World Cup party. Today's the big one, and it should be fun. Really exciting. We'll put the Giants on tape and make that the second half of the doubleheader.
And no distractions from the hot dog eating contest, right, Bruce?
That will not be aired. An innocent mistake by our neighbors, but wow, was that disgusting.
Yeah, great notice in the three-dot last
from
Bruce.
Let me ask you this. What kind of food are you serving today?
Yeah, good question.
That's up to my wife, who's always very good at this. I think she's asking people to bring their own snacks. We're not serving a big meal, and people are going to bring, you know, a little carrots and celery and hummus, and definitely no hot dogs soaked in water.
All right. Boy, today we challenged Bumgarner a little bit today to step up and be the guy. Bumgarner's right in the class. I think, Bruce, he's in there with the Cuetos of the world. Maybe not Kershaw. Maybe he's in a league by himself. But certainly people like that. Bumgarner today, in my opinion, has got to step up and shut it down today and find a way to win a game today.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, a two-run single and a solo homer wouldn't hurt from him either, the way the team's hitting. But, yeah, and, you know, it's funny. You know, you mentioned Kershaw. Those two guys are pretty close, considering they're Dodgers and Giants. They really respect each other. They sort of have a lot in common. And, you know, I know Bumgarner really enjoys being mentioned in the company of Kershaw, and it's kind of getting away from it a little bit now. Kershaw's, you know, moving up into that Sandy Koufax territory for Dodger fans, and Bumgarner's having a little bit of a tough spell, but he'll get there. I mean, I don't think anybody has lost any faith in Bumgarner whatsoever. He's fine, and I would expect him to pitch a good one today.
Well, Hudson has officially been named to replace Bumgarner. It's his fourth All-Star appearance, so he gets to go there. Bruce, today I'm going to play a very special memory of the game during the show, and I wanted you to talk about it first. And it is my interview with Earl Robinson. And it's a wonderful interview, and Earl Robinson was a star at Cal in the 50s, African-American trailblazer as well, but a basketball player with the Pete Newells of the world, a baseball player as well, signed by the Dodgers, became an Oriole, but an icon in Bay Area. Just circles. He wrote the speech with Ricky Henderson for the Hall of Fame. And just a wonderful man. I'm going to have a nice memory of the game with him. But I want you to talk about Earl Robinson. You wrote about him this week.
Yeah, well, I wrote the biography of Pete Newell. And, of course, Earl Robinson was going to be a big part of that. But people may not remember, you know, Cal won the 59 NC2A title. Everybody remembers that. They beat Jerry West and Oscar Robertson. But there was to get to that point, they had to, it was a long road to get respectability in the old Pacific Coast Conference. And Earl Robinson was a starting guard on the teams that did win the conference in the previous 2 years and almost got to the Final Four. And was a huge part of the Cal athletics back then. You know, Earl and Joe Capp were teammates. You can imagine Joe Capp playing basketball.
Wow.
Between Capp, who once went into the SC locker room and challenged the entire team to a fight. He went into the locker room. And Earl Robinson, who didn't take any guff from anybody, you know, that was a real tough-minded team, and that sort of characterized the, you know, Cal in those days. But, I mean, geez. You know, Cal won the whole thing in baseball, the 57. And Earl Robinson was on that team and hit 352, and then he hits the basketball court. You know, those were the great days for the two-sport athlete, which we see so little of today, and it seems to be fading as we speak. But, you know, a real character guy, did play in the big leagues. But after that, he was a teacher at Laney College. He taught speech and communications. He was an advisor to the A's. He was an advisor to everybody, it seemed like, who wanted to, you know, incorporate young players into a certain culture. He was there for anybody who wanted to listen. And this, a man of just the highest character. And I had a terrific interview with him for the Newell book, and he told me about, you know, coming out of Berkeley High, he was really set on going to UCLA. which had a, in those days, they had Jackie Robinson, Kenny Washington, Woody Stroh. They had a tremendous set up for African-American athletes when it was extremely rare, and he thought he'd go there automatically. But when they were recruited by him, when he mentioned Cal, they started talking down Cal, like, well, Cal doesn't, they don't like black players. There's no way you'd want to go there. And that really offended him. And once he got with Pete Newell, he realized that he'd gone to the right place. Pete put three black guys on his 1954 freshman basketball team. And, you know, it just took off from there. But just a guy that, of the highest moral character, a great athlete, great guy, and a real loss.
Yeah, boy, thank you for doing that. And my interview with him is about his baseball career, and he ended up with the Orioles. And I think his roommate was, I think, Big Daddy Lipscomb of the Baltimore Colts. And Pat, you don't know who that is.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do know. Very
good. I've heard Lipscomb. Yeah, I've heard his name mentioned.
And when you know, this is an era where he was like 6'9", 310 pounds, and he could move.
Right.
Today, everybody is that, the quarterbacks of that.
Yeah. But, science is an amazing thing,
but,
Marty.
I'll tell you. So he was together with Big Daddy, and he's got some great stories of that. So, Bruce, thank you for doing that. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
Very good. All right, what do you think of this ball club? 68 games to go. Here we are. It's July, the All-Star break coming up. And, you know, I said last night on the show, someone called in about, well, the fans are angry and all this kind of stuff. You know, on Twitter and all the social media things, you're anonymous. And you can vent and scream about you or me or Pat or anyone you want to. You're not really heard. You know, in other words, your voice isn't heard. Out here, I haven't heard a boo yet the whole year.
Well, you know, I think people, it helps to have a couple world titles behind you, but it gets people really accustomed to the 162-game grind, you know, how long the season is, the ups and downs, realizing that both of those teams had flaws. There were tons of fans who didn't think either of those teams could maybe even get to the postseason. And, you know, it makes you realize the strength of the pitching. The Giants' pitching is really pretty good, when you consider Lincecum and Vogelsong are really on right now. It's not a dire situation when you accompany it with the standings. And it also helps to be sitting in a great park where your kids are having fun no matter what. You're having fun. It's an unbelievable atmosphere. And it's just, going to Giants games is still very, very cool. And I like the fact that there's a lot of patience in the air. Maybe not on the airwaves or, you know, in certain pockets of fandom, the lunatic fringe, as kids is called. But, you know, it's a likable bunch of guys. They're trying hard. It's not like they've gone in the tank or anything. And I think the real issue now is it's a little bit maddening that you can't exactly pinpoint what has to be done. You know that something has to happen just for a little bit of a wake-up call, because that's what Sabian does. Yeah. But you don't know if it's center field, because, you know, Pagan might, you know, from August 1st on, he might be a complete, you know, lion-hearted, nonstop competitor the rest of the way. You don't know if it's second base. I mean, Scudero looked good yesterday, and in that last at bat, I saw him grab his back a couple times, and he didn't. His last swing was not very good. So, it's tough. It's tough to pinpoint it, and I think Sabian will take it right down to the wire. You know, Billy Beane had the luxury of getting Jeff Samardzija like immediately, and he's going to get, you know, four extra starts out of that guy, as opposed to waiting to the deadline, or five, whatever starts it is. But for Sabian, I really think he's got to see exactly where the team is on the 28th of July. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree. Yeah. You know, you got this game today. You got the Marlins, you got the Phillies, the Dodgers, and the Pirates, and that basically takes you right up to the deadline.
Yeah. The Dodgers series will be
huge.
Let
me ask you this. All right. If you wanted to say, all right, I'm optimistic because of the Giants, because, what would you say?
Because they've got guys who've been there, because they've guys who are not going to get depressed, because they've got guys who go after it and get along and have a history.
Okay.
You know, every time Pence or Sandoval or Posey or Moore steps up there, I'm still kind of on the edge of my seat. I want to see what's going to happen. It could be great, you know. When there's a ground ball up the middle, I think Panic's going to make the play. You know, Crawford's one of the best. I think they're still very entertaining. They've got experience and they've got good chemistry, and those things, you know, they matter in the tough times. They're not all automatics to the championship, but when you're going bad, they're huge.
If you think if you thought the Dodgers were going to win the West, why? What's the inverse of Marty's question?
Well, if they get David Price, they're going to win the West, I think. Yeah. But from what I'm reading in the in the L.A. Times, that's not so much going to happen now. They're not going to go after Cole Hamels or David Price. That could change also. I mean, Dan Heron's been awful. But the basic answer to your question, I've never had that much faith in the Dodgers, but if they are going to win the West, it's because they outpitched the Giants. And, you know, the way Kershaw and Greinke have pitched and Ryu to a point, and I still think they're going to need a number fourth starter. I think at the end, Heron and Beckett are not going to be the answer, and I think they will go after a fourth guy. And again, if they do get David Price, it's going to be really difficult.
Wow. I think that they had Koufax pitch last night. Oh, no, that was Mahalam last night.
Nuts.
Yeah, well, they're going to win it if guys like Paul Mahalam step in like he did last night. There's
innings.
A little bit of fairy dust on that one, you know.
You know, Scully was great. Did you see any of it last night, Bruce?
A little bit. Not as much as I would have wanted to, but yeah, some.
He was great. Scully was great because Puig gets thrown out.
Yeah.
Now Scully becomes a lip reader.
Oh, he's one of the best.
He was great. And he did it. Look, this is right. This is Puig right on the air. He says, I think he called the umpire. He said, "You're stupid."
Yeah.
So he has it rewound, and it's played again. And sure enough, Puig is saying, "You're stupid."
Oh my goodness!
So Scully. So what does Scully say? Look at Eddie. Eddie Montague just came here wearing a National League shirt. Okay.
National League All Star. Unbelievable.
So Scully says on the air, now if it's a Spanish umpire, you can say you're stupid, but to all the American umpires, you better say it in Spanish. I mean, it was just one of the great moments.
This man is amazing.
Isn't he?
He's been doing that for years. I mean, whether, you know, it's Walt Alternargen with Frank Sicori, you know, or Bill Rigney with Augie Donatelli, you know, he'd get a lot of it, and he was usually right. He has an especially remarkable gift for lip reading.
Very
what,
good.
What a thing.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, last question for me for Bruce is just a national, or at least baseball wide. How about AJ Pierzynski getting ran out of town for just being kind of a heel? I mean, this guy spent a year in San Francisco, and you've heard all the stories with Conte and all that. I mean, has there been a better heel in baseball or a bigger heel over the last 20 years than AJ Pierzynski?
He's a vintage heel, occasionally an Achilles heel.
Wow. Yeah,
and never a good guy, whatever clubhouse he's in. I've always been amazed that he got attached to so much success over the years, you know, with the White Sox.
Sure.
But you know, the Red Sox have a sort of a delicate chemistry balance. You know, they got it right last year, and then they bring him in instead of Sal Talamacchia, and it's like, oh, my God, how is this going to go? But, you know, the Giants knew it better than anybody because it only took him a few games in spring training to reveal what kind of guy he was, and they blew him out of town. You know, he's entertaining on the air. He's a good interview. He says what he thinks, but he doesn't have really any regard for his teammates or what they're going through. It's all about, you know, and that they're in last place. The Red Sox are terrible right now, and to have that guy grousing around like he does, he just can't have it. And no. Of course, then they all ripped him after he left.
That's a good one. The biggest heel of the decade, AJ Pierzynski.
No one's in his league.
No, you can get him a job working for Jimmy Choo's shoes as the heel.
Look at Marty.
How about that? Drop the Jimmy Choo shoes on you.
Or he could be a co-broadcaster with the great Jim Ross on a WWE broadcast, right? And he's a fellow Gator, Marty. He's another Florida Gator.
Yeah,
Pierzynski,
is he?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Okay.
He could be an umpire. He tried doing that his whole career.
Yeah. Eddie says he could be an umpire. He tried doing that his whole career.
Yeah. When he swings, he never really comes out of his shoes because his heel is so big.
Very good. On that one, we'll let you go watch the World Cup.
All right, guys. Look forward to talking again.
We'll feel good.
Thanks,
Bruce.
Appreciate it, man.
All right.